We honor you this morning. We thank you for being our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that when we feel worried or doubt, Lord, that we can come to you. When we feel overwhelmed, we can come to you. We thank you this morning that no matter what emotion we may feel, that you're always there for us and you're always there helping us and encouraging us. So this morning, Lord, I pray even for my voice that you will encourage it, God, that you will heal it. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you will give us a word that will help us along our path. God, we all stand in need of a word. We all stand in different positions, but we all need your presence. So this morning, we yield to you. We yield to your spirit, and we thank you for what you're going to do. And we pray these things by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture this morning is going to come out of the book of John, chapter 21. Excuse me. I know last week we had talked about Peter walking on water, and then at the end, me and Kevin and Coach Party and some of us were talking, and Brother Kevin had brought up the fact that when Peter jumped out of the boat into the water, and Brother Kevin had told me, I think it was a preacher that maybe spoke on this, and I wrote his name down, and I wanted to go listen to him preach on this, but the Lord wouldn't allow me. And I know that kind of sounds funny to some people, but I began to research the guy, and I wanted to listen to it. And as soon as I began to try to listen to his message, the Lord spoke to me, and God told me to go read it. And God told me to go talk to him about it. So the first thing I'll probably do today, one of the first things is after this, I'll go hear who Brother Kevin told me to listen to about this sermon, because I'm very, very interested in how this guy saw it and what God gave him. But I honor God this morning that sometimes God just wants to speak to us. There's nothing wrong with television preachers. There's nothing wrong with, your preacher, my preacher, whomever it may be. But I want to encourage you this morning to know that sometimes God just wants to speak to you. Sometimes God wants you to read the scripture, and God wants to speak a word to you. God wants to encourage you by way of his voice and his voice alone. And one thing that I have learned over the past several years is when I can get a word for myself, when I can yield to the voice and power of the Holy Spirit in my life, those sometimes are the words that help encourage me. And they remind me that God loves me. God's there for me. God just doesn't speak to one man or one woman anymore. God speaks to us all. So I honor Brother Kevin for bringing this up because, man, God has been speaking to me through these scriptures, and I believe showing me a lot of amazing things. So we'll jump in right here on John chapter 21. We'll start right here in verse 4. This is obviously after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it says, "But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, 'Children, have you any food?' They answered him, 'No.' Verse 6, and he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some.' So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. Verse 8, but the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish." This morning, something I want to talk about that God has really, really been speaking to me about is fear. My brother-in-law, me and him have been going back and forth over the past week, talking about fear, talking about how to conquer it. What do we believe about fear? And if there's one person that I could say in the Bible that should have been fearful, I would say it should have been Peter. Because if we keep this story in context, the last time that Peter saw Jesus was when their eyes met, and Peter had actually said that he didn't know Jesus. He had condemned him. He had said, listen, I don't even know this man. He denied him according to the scriptures 3 different times, and their eyes met, and that was the last time that Peter had the ability to see his Savior Jesus. Fear can do many things, brothers and sisters, and I know all of us deal with fear differently. When we were on vacation, my son wrecked his little bicycle, and the first thing I did is I got mad because I was trying to mask my fear. I gave him instructions on, you know, how to be careful, these things, and he didn't necessarily listen. So I was mad until I made sure he was okay. Then I was, you know, worried and make, you know, these different things. But what I've thought so many times in my life is if I have fear in a situation that I was in sin, or, you know, I know the Bible tells us that God is not a God that's given us a spirit of fear. But there's certain things in our lives that we can't help when they come against us. But I want to encourage us to know that if fear comes up against you, I don't believe anymore that that's necessarily that you're in sin, but it is what you do with that fear. It's what choice do you make when doubt and fear come upon you? My two little kids, Joshua and Isabel, they wouldn't go to children's church for several years. And I would ask them, why don't you want to go to kids' church? And they would tell me, oh, you know, we just want to go to big church. But I knew that they were fearful to be away from Alex and me. I knew they were scared to be away from us, even if it was just for an hour, because they couldn't see us and they didn't know how to deal with that fear. So we would try to encourage them, but it never works. We kind of just, you know, gave it to God and let go of it. And then several months ago, our kids began to go to children's church. They go, they don't ask us, are you picking us up or anything? They're not fearful at all. And the reason is because they made a friend and a boy named Jax. And God began to minister to me about this. And I'm like, well, God, they're not scared anymore. And he said, well, maybe that's not the case. Maybe when fear comes upon them, their relationship that they've developed with this little boy conquers their fear. And instantly, God wanted me to share with y'all this morning to know that, listen, when fear comes upon us, it's not a bad thing necessarily if we will allow our relationship with God to conquer that. You see, if fear does one thing, fear makes you and I make a choice. I either have to choose to be fearful or I have to choose to trust in God. My kids go to children's church now because they trust in their relationship with this little boy, because he listens to them and they listen to him and they have fun together. Their love for him and his love for them conquers their fear. Brothers and sisters, if that can't teach us a lesson this morning, I don't know what can. How many of us could allow the relationship that we have with God to conquer our fear? If money's looking a little funny, money's not adding up, we can't make, you know, our bills, or we're scared that we can't make our bills, or whatever it may be, what if we trusted in God and said, God, you promise as long as I tithe and I sow to open the windows of heaven? Because there's one thing that can't exist in the same room, and that is fear in God. You see, I believe when the Spirit of God comes in that it casts out all fear, because the Bible says that perfect love casteth out all fear. What and who is perfect love? That is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The last time Peter tried to walk on water, he was scared and he got nervous and he sank, but he reached up and grabbed the arm of the Savior. And they walked back to the boat. The Bible says that the disciples were no longer scared or afraid, and the storm calmed down. So this time, after he's denied Jesus 3 different times, Peter's eyes and Jesus' eyes definitely met according to scripture. And Jesus goes to the cross and is crucified for you and me. He is a guiltless, sinless man that took on the cross for you and me this morning. And Peter knew how he treated Jesus the last time they saw each other. But the Bible says that when Peter was fishing, that when John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, when he saw Jesus and he knew it was Jesus, and John says, hey, listen, Peter, that's Jesus. The Bible says that Peter put on his outer garment and jumped in the water. Why in the world would Peter jump in the water? What if, because Peter knew something about Jesus that you and I are failing to see? What if Peter remembered the goodness of Jesus? What if he remembered how he forgave that woman in adultery? What if he remembered how these people that didn't deserve his love, didn't deserve his forgiveness, that he freely gave it to them? What if Peter believed in his relationship with Jesus more than he believed in his wrongdoings? Is that not a lesson for you and me this morning? We messed up yesterday, we messed up last week, we messed up this morning, we'll mess up this afternoon. We didn't have, you know, all faith, or we said something bad to somebody, or we lied, or whatever our sin may have been. That will keep us away from God. Why in the world are we allowing our fear to push us from God when I believe God's wanting us to bring our fear to Him? I know back in the early 90s, there was these t-shirts, No Fear. And you know, these shirts, they sold millions and millions of shirts, and they would have little catchy phrases on there that would talk about no fear. And I don't think it's possible to have no fear. But I do this morning, brothers and sisters, believe that it is possible to have fear come upon us and fear not affect us the way it used to. I believe that we can have fear come upon us and we can take that fear and we can rebuke it and we can meet it with love and faith and trust in God, and that fear has to flee. Peter was fishing with just his, maybe his underwear, just his, you know, the not much on, we'll say. But when he knew that it was Jesus, he put on a garment that was going to slow him down in the water. He put on a garment that was going to hinder him. He put on a garment that could possibly drown him. Why did he jump so quickly? What if Peter thought that he wasn't going to swim? What if Peter thought, hey, listen, maybe I'm going to walk this time. And maybe not only am I going to walk on water this time, maybe I'm not going to fail this time. Maybe I'm going to run on water this time. But the Bible says as he jumped in that he went in and he began to swim. And I began to think about this. God, what a story it would have been if Peter could have walked on that water. God, what a story it could have been if you would have let him this time walk all the way to shore. What if this time, Lord, God, you know, we get in funny situations when we try to tell God how to do his thing. But I do believe that Peter thought, listen, maybe this time I'm going to walk on water. But the Bible says that when he jumped in the water, he began to swim instantly. And I think about this over and over, and I'm like, God, if you would have just let him run, it'd be awesome. I mean, that would preach so good. But God began to show me early this morning why I believe that he allowed him to swim. You see, so many of us, brothers and sisters, want God to do things the same way he's always done them. We've prayed for financial miracles. We prayed for financial blessings. We prayed for people to be healed in our lives. And sometimes it doesn't happen the way we want it to. I know when I went to prison, I prayed to come home. I prayed for a miracle to happen. And we tried every way that we could possibly know how to get me to come home. And it wasn't until God allowed it that I was able to come home. What if Peter walking on the water wouldn't have taught him as great as a lesson as it did for allowing him to swim? What if you praying for you to have a different kind of finances or different kind of situation with your kids or your husband and your wife is not God's way? The first thing that happens when God doesn't do something the way I ask him to do it is fear comes to me. Could you imagine the fear that came upon Peter when he jumped in believing that he was going to walk on water and he had to swim? Could you imagine that Peter believed with everything on the inside of him. That's the only reason he put on that outer garment is because he thought he was going to walk on water. He thought he was going to be dry, but all of a sudden the water rushed about him. I know a lot of us this morning feel that. We feel like the world is closing in on us. We feel like finances aren't adding up. We feel like we're going through pain in our bodies. Our wives or our husbands are going through pain in their bodies. We've prayed, we've fasted, and God is still not answered. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you this morning to know just because God hasn't answered doesn't mean God's not there. Just because fear is starting to creep in doesn't mean that you have to accept that fear. On the contrary, I believe sometimes God's waiting on us to cast out that fear before He comes and saves the day. Sometimes God's trying to build our relationship with Him. Sometimes God is trying to build us up so that we can trust in the fact that we have the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. If God did it the same way every single time you and I thought He should do it, would it be as powerful? I'm sure when Peter got to the shore, he was soaking wet. I'm sure he was tired. I'm sure he was beat down by the waves, the salt water, all these things going on. I'm sure he faced a lot of adversity getting to Jesus. But Peter didn't allow his fear to stop him from getting to the Lord. Peter had condemned Jesus. He had denied Jesus. But Peter, not one time, according to Scripture, hesitated. Not one time did Peter say, "Oh my goodness, last time I saw him, I let him down. Last time I saw him, I disappointed him." So why in the world are you and me allowing some disappointment or some hurt or some pain in our lives, some unforgiveness to stop us from getting to the Savior? Peter was part of the people that was literally denying the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the first time he had the chance to go talk to Him, he put his own life at risk to get to the Savior. The very first time he had an opportunity to commune, to sit, to talk, to be in relationship with the Savior again, Peter jumped out of the boat. Why would Peter jump? Because Peter knew the forgiveness of God. He knew something about Jesus. He knew that he was a man that loved to forgive. He knew he was a humble man. He knew he was a loving man. He knew he was a caring man. This morning, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you. The greatest thing I could ever tell you is that our Savior is a loving Savior. Our Savior is a caring Savior. Our Savior is a Redeemer. And just because fear is coming up on you and me, it's making us make a choice. That's fine. Today I choose Jesus. When Job was going through these battles and he thought he was going to die and his kids had died, one of the greatest things Job cried out to his friends is, "Though he may slay me, yet will I trust in the Lord." God so many times in Scripture tells us to fear not, fear not, fear not. Not that fear shouldn't come upon us, but I believe He's telling us, don't take that fear on. Don't take it and make it your own. Don't take it and make it personal. Instead, take my love. Take my yoke. It's easy. My burden is light. I hear God this morning wanting us that, listen, even though I may not be performing the miracle like you want, even though I'm not making ends meet, so to speak, even though I'm not doing it the way you think I should do it, trust in me. Fear not, for I love you. I hear the voice of the Lord this morning, brothers and sisters, telling you and me to jump. It doesn't mean don't be fearful. It just means jump and believe. And if the miracle doesn't happen right then, keep on swimming. Keep going after God no matter what it takes. Go after God in your sin. Go after God in your doubt, in your worry, in your fear. I don't care what it is. Just keep going to Him. Because God is a God that's not going to run away from you and me. The Bible says that if we'll take a step, He'll come right after us. We got to go after Him with everything that we have, and He has never and will never fail you and me this morning. Brothers and sisters, fear does make us choose. Fear makes us choose faith or fear. Fear makes us choose love or anger or doubt. Fear makes us make a choice. And that's why I believe it's such a big deal in our lives. But I don't want you to allow the enemy to condemn you when you have to make the choice. I believe that when fear comes upon us, if we can take a moment to choose, do I choose love or do I choose fear? Do I choose doubt or do I choose faith? Do I choose forgiveness or do I choose unforgiveness? The choice is you're in eyes. That's why the Bible says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. It's all in the Scripture, but I love, love, love that Peter gave God a chance. And when Peter put on that outer garment, and he jumped in and he got wet and the waves were coming up against him. I love that Peter didn't say, okay, God, you didn't do it my way, or you didn't do it the way you did it last time, I give up. I love that Peter was so focused on Jesus that he was going to do whatever it took. And I love that Peter could have stayed in the boat, because 200 cubits is roughly 100 yards, and he could have got there when everybody else got there. But Peter thought that wasn't good enough for him. Because Peter knew that, listen, I've messed up. I've done some bad things. I've denied you, but I know that your love is greater than my denial. I know your grace and your mercy is greater than my sin. So this morning, brothers and sisters, I invite you to a relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My two little kids have a relationship with their little friend, and that's caused them to not have fear in their life in that area. What in the world, if we chose a relationship with God, could you imagine the fear that couldn't exist in our life? If you have an area in your life that there's fear, or fear's coming up against you, I encourage you to invite God in that area. In closing this morning, a few days ago, we went to my little niece's softball game. And as we were walking in, there was a little kid, 3 year old max. And he was several hundred yards away from some of the fields. And I looked at him, and my daughter had spoken to him. And so I go up to him and I'm like, hey, you know, what's going on, guys? And I'm like, is this kid lost? And my daughter, probably one of the proudest dad moments, she begins to ask the kid, you know, are you scared? Where's your parents? And so me and my daughter and this little kid walk trying to find his parents. And the whole time I'm trying to talk to the kid, and the kid's not really responding to me, but I'll get Isabel to ask the kid, hey, do you know who your parents are, or whatever it may be? And the kid will respond to her with, you know, with hand movements or shaking his head or whatever it may have been. And so, I don't know, 5-10 minutes later, we've walked and we're looking. And by this point, God's definitely talking to me. And, you know, this kid is completely lost. So I'm looking around for, you know, a mom or a dad that's frantic, or a mom or a dad that's, you know, running around, or a group of people that's running around. And we're walking and we're walking, and I have no idea where we're going. And every time I would talk to this kid, not one time would he respond to me. But every time my daughter would ask him a question, he would respond. So long story short, we get to the back of the area, and I see a man, and he's kind of walking around, and I see the man, and instantly God tells me, you know, this is who you're looking for. So I walk up to the man, and I'm like, hey, listen, sir, excuse me, is this your child? And the guy looks at him, and he goes, well, no, he's not my child. I'm his grandpa. And he takes him and walks away. And not one time did that man tell me thank you. Not one time did that man tell my daughter thank you. Which is okay. You know, yes, it makes me angry and it frustrates me. But instantly we began to walk away. I began to talk to God, and I heard the voice of the Lord. And I was like, God, that kid wouldn't even talk to me, but he would talk to my daughter. And I was like, God, why do you think he would? And instantly God was showing me, because he could relate to my daughter, because she was a lot smaller and her voice was a lot, maybe probably kinder, definitely at that point. You know, my voice is a lot deeper. That little boy could relate to my daughter because of size and voice and those different things. And he trusted her, so he got back to his family. And this morning, brothers and sisters, I promise you that Jesus can relate to you and me. Jesus relates to us because he's faced adversities that you and me have faced. But if we will understand and relate back to him, then he can take us home to the Father. That little kid was lost and I'm sure scared, but he didn't allow his fear to stop him from answering my daughter. Don't you let your fear stop you from getting to God. Don't you let your fear consume you where it causes you to be lost for eternity. Don't let your fear stop you from getting to the things of God. God's path or his plan may not look like the plan that you and I think it should. But I promise you, when we look back on it, his plan is always perfect and his plan is always best for you and me. Let's pray. Father God, I honor you this morning. I thank you, God, just like that little kid, that you're a savior that we can relate to. I thank you, God, that yes, sometimes we are scared. God, sometimes we're worried. Sometimes we don't know, our finances are in all sorts of turmoil. But God, I thank you this morning that when fear can come upon us, Lord, when fear comes our way, this day we choose you, God. We're like Peter. We're jumping out of the boat, God. And if you don't allow us to run on the water, God, then we'll swim to you. God, if you don't do it the way that we think you should, we're still coming after you. We're going to take fear and cast it away with perfect love. We're going to take fear and put it in its position on the back burner, Lord. Because you are a good God. Because you are a heavenly Father that loves us and nurtures us and strengthens us. So this morning, Lord God, I thank you for everything that you're going to do for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for those husband and wives that you're going to mend their relationship. I thank you for those business opportunities. I thank you for those children that are coming back home, Lord. For that dad that's not spoke to that daughter in years, or that mom that's not spoke to that son or that daughter in years. I pray that you bring them home, God. God, because we're not fearful anymore. We believe that your plans are awesome. We believe that your plans are to help us and encourage us. And God, despite what we feel or what we think we see, we trust in you this morning. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for everything that you've done. And we thank you for everything that you're going to do. We pray these things by faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen.